since he got to preach here today, and so I was excited when he was willing to do that. And that's the forward button for your PowerPoint right there, the one that's wore out. The label's worn off. All right. But let's pray for Ben. Father, thank you for bringing our brother back to us. Lord, we ask that you speak to him as you deliver your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good morning again. So, for anyone who doesn't know me, we were, part of this church for like 12 years, moved to Nashville 3 years ago. It's kind of amazing that time flies that fast, right? You know, it's been 3 years already that we moved to Nashville. And I think I preached here about just before we left. And I did say that if really the purpose of our move was just for my job, then I feel like it was kind of not worth it. And so since we've been there, I've been trying to look at what else, what is the purpose for the move other than the job. And what I've learned in the last 3 years is that it's been a very good learning place for us. I think I have... God has taught us so much about ourselves and about our relationship with him the last 3 years. It's been really, really, really amazing. Like, I think that's what I see very clearly, in terms of the movies. It's been such a great blessing to our family the last 3 years. And so when... when I was thinking about whether I should preach, whilst I am here, I had no intention of doing this. Okay, so this is day 10 of my vacation. And so being on vacation, I really did not have any plans to preach because it kind of adds, I'm not a preacher. I was talking to Pastor about that. I'm not a preacher consistently. So it's kind of a little bit stressful when you have to prepare to preach. And since I didn't really... plan to do this. Just a few days before we left for our vacation, I was praying and the thought just came to my mind that I need to prepare something to preach. And so when I finished praying, I remembered that thought. And I said, but I'm going to vacation, so God, if that thought came from you, that's a very bad idea. You just cannot ask me to prepare to preach, just at the end. If I was doing this at the start of the vacation, that is good, right? You preach, you are done, and then you enjoy your vacation. But if you have to do this at the end, that would be a really bad idea. So so I told Maud that I feel like I am supposed to preach when we come here. And she's like, but it will be so stressful on you. I'm like, yeah, I know. That's what I said. So long story short... I got a text from Esther the same day I felt I should prepare something to preach. And then I called her and she said, okay, actually, after I sent the text, I thought about it and I said, actually, maybe I shouldn't have sent the text. I said, but what were you going to ask me about? And she said, I was talking to Pastor and I was going to ask you if you would like to preach. I'm like, yeah. And then later you thought it was a bad idea. I said, me too. That's what I thought too, So then we all agreed that when I'm ready, I'll call Pastor and tell him that, okay, I would like to preach. But I really never got ready. And then I got a text from Pastor and he asked, would you like to preach? I said, oh God, you really? That's how many, how many times, I'm becoming like Jonah, right? It's like, how many times do you have to, remind me that I'm supposed to preach today? So long story short, here I am today, and I'm preaching at the end of my vacation. I think sometimes we, God instructs us to do something, but it feels inconvenient to us, right? It feels so inconvenient to our normal lifestyle, to what we do, so then we don't want to do it, because it doesn't feel good, right? Sometimes God calls us to do things that doesn't feel good to us. Sometimes God calls us to do things that are like not normal, not in a daily pattern to do. God calls you to talk to somebody and you're thinking about yourself, right? How, you know, how will it turn out? What if it doesn't turn out right? You know, that kind of thing. But I think in all situations, when God calls, he equips, right? So if you follow through, you know, he will do his own thing. So I have a word and I'm going to preach what God gave me to preach. Because as part of doing this, I said, God, okay, if you want me to do this, since I don't have really a lot of time to prepare, you have to give me the word. And I was talking to, having these discussions yesterday. And so I have a word that I believe is for somebody here. And I pray that it is you. And before we do that, let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for today, O God. We thank you and we bless your name, O God. We thank you for our time here, O God. We just commit our hearts and our minds unto you, O God. Holy Spirit, I pray that, Lord, you take absolute control, God, over every heart and over every mind here, O God, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you will come and speak your word unto us, O God. The word says, so-called faith comes by hearing, and hearing your word, O God. It is by your word that we receive faith, O God, to live the calling that you have called us, O God. So this morning, I pray, O God, that you touch us, that you speak unto us, O God. Holy Spirit, I pray your presence here, O God. I pray that you set me aside, O God, and that you speak your word to your people, O God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. We thank you, and we bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. I remember when I used to preach here, every time I would come and stand here, Kwesi will say, Michael, I think your dad is going to preach. It's going to take so long. And, you know, he's like a prophet, right? It always comes through. So, in Hebrews chapter 11, my message today is the fullness of grace. The fullness of grace. And in Hebrews chapter 11, you know, referred to as the hall of faith, we see in Hebrews chapter 11 that God almost brags, like commends the faith of certain people in Scripture. It goes through and it talks about, it mentions several people. It talks about the faith of Abraham, who is referred to as the father of faith. It talks about Joseph, Moses, and many other people, about, you know, the faith of these people. And so as I was thinking about this, I said, you know, if God commends the faith of these people, I mean, what kind of faith do you have to have, right? We know that all Scripture is God-breathed. So if all Scripture is God-breathed, what kind of faith do you have to have for God to actually commend you for your faith? So I thought we should just quickly, and since that is not really the message itself, I thought quickly we should just go through, just I picked three of these people, and then I added two more people from the New Testament that I would like to just go through their story very quickly, and then at the end we'll see what we can learn from their stories. So the first person I picked is Abraham. Now, we all know the calling of Abraham, right? So I'm not going to be too detailed. He lived at a time, you know, he's part of the descendants of Noah. So after the flood, you know, Noah's children grew and grew, and Abraham was born at some point. And out of all the people that lived at that time, God called Abraham. That was his calling, and told him to go to a place that he would show him. And the Bible says that, and Abraham believed God and went, right? And so, but the real question is, out of all the people that lived at that time, why did God call Abraham in particular? Why him? What did he do to deserve the calling of God? I'm not sure if you really ever thought about this. And then after God called him and he believed God and he went, when you read the story of Abraham, you see that God blessed him, right? So God called him, he obeyed and followed. And then God blessed him. God blessed him so much that if you read the story of Abraham in Genesis chapter 14, it says that at some point, you know, the king of Sodom went to war with, and then Lot was captured with the people. And Abraham chose 318 trained men from his household. 318 trained men. That is how many servants that he chose from his house. So just think about it. How blessed do you have to be to have 318 trained men in your house to go to war with you? So he went to war. He defeated, you know, the people. Just his household defeated the four kings that had, you know, conquered Sodom and all that. Just him and his household defeated them, took Lot and all that. But the point is not the war. The point is the blessing that he had received, right? God called him and God blessed him a lot, right? That was the story of Abraham. And God used that to talk to us about what happens when we have faith in him. What happens when we trust him, when we follow, right? The blessings that come with his calling. So that's the calling and the blessing of Abraham. Now, the next one I picked is Joseph. Now, we know that Joseph was one of 12 brothers, right? His dad loved him so much because he was born when he was pretty old. And also, he was the firstborn of the wife that he really loved. You know, he worked 14 years just to put a ring on it, right? And so after that long, you know, he loved the boy. But that is beside the point. His father loved him, but why did God choose him out of the 12? What was special about Joseph that made God choose him out of all the other brothers? I'm not sure if you ever thought about that. Because he got his calling at a very young age when he started having these dreams about growing up to become somebody great, right? About growing up to become, in one of his dreams, he says he saw the sun, the moon, and 11 stars bowing down to him, which was his dad, his mom, and his brothers bowing to him. So at a very tender age, he felt the calling of God. And then we all know his story, right? God, you know, took him and, you know, made him go from prison to become governor and all that, right? So if you think about it, God called him and then God blessed him. And that was the story of Joseph. God called him and God blessed him. And then Moses. At the time Moses was born, the Pharaoh at that time was afraid of how big the Israelites were becoming, right? So he was actually killing all the Hebrew boys when they were born. And then God picked Moses from the time of birth that he would show his name through him. So God spared his life. And then at some point in Moses' life, he felt like, you know, God was calling him to do something great, to be the savior of his people. So as he started feeling that, he started trying to do it himself and it didn't work out and all that. But the end of the story is that Moses became the deliverer. Moses was called by God and many years later became the deliverer. God used him so mightily to show his power to the world that lived at that time and to us too. Remember all the blessing of Moses? He, you know, God parted the Red Sea through him. He defeated all these kings and all that. God showed so much power through Moses. And that was the story of Moses. God called, God equipped, God blessed. But why Moses? What did he do to deserve his calling and his blessing? Now, these stories are all very similar. So I decided I'm not going to bore you. I'm not going to talk through any of the other people in Hebrews 11. And I picked two more people from the New Testament. Now, let's look at the story of Mary. Mary was a young girl. that God chose to become the mother of the Savior. Now, the story of the Savior, of the Messiah, was well known, right? The Pharisees and the scribes knew very well where the Savior would be born, but the Savior would be born in the town of Bethlehem of Judea. Now, I would think that out of the town of Bethlehem, there were many girls who were from the line of David who could have been chosen. But God chose Mary. Why did God choose Mary? And then Mary became the mother of Jesus. You know, Jesus is God, right? So he chose him and he became the mother of God. Do you know what a blessing it is to become the mother of God? That was his calling and that was his blessing. But out of all the people that lived and out of all the girls from Bethlehem, why Mary? Why did God choose her in particular? And then lastly, very quickly, you look at the story of Paul. Paul's story is actually the most interesting of all of them, right? Because Paul was actually, at the time of his calling, Paul was going around persecuting the church. He really was completely against the church. And then God called him. And through Paul, God gave him such power and knowledge of himself that Paul wrote half of the New Testament that we have now. So God called him and God used him so mightily to bless the church. I mean, God used Paul so much that at a point, I'm not sure if you read this, in Acts chapter 19, people would touch Paul with a handkerchief, okay? Go home with a handkerchief, touch the sick, and the sick gets healed. Not in person. That is how much power God demonstrated through Paul. You touch him with a handkerchief, you take the handkerchief home, put it on the sick, and the sick gets healed. That is Acts chapter 19. So you also see the calling and the blessing of Paul. But it's the same question. Why him? What did he do that make him worthy of such calling and blessing? And if you look at it all, the answer is simple. It's nothing that they did. It was all by grace. Grace called them. Grace equipped them. Grace blessed them. It was all by God's grace. Now, when we apply this to us, the Bible says that what? We are also called by faith, right? The Bible says we are called by faith. It says it is by grace that you have been called, not by yourself. So if you think about it and we apply it to ourselves, it's the same thing. We are called by grace, we are equipped by grace, and we do what God has called us to do by grace. Because he said, even far before we came to know God, you know, God's hand was upon us, right? He had called us out of the many people, you know, in this world. He called you by his grace, not because of any good thing that you have done. Now, here's the question. What is grace? That is what grace is. Grace is undeserved favor of God. Grace is the goodness of a loving God towards his creation. So let's think about this. If grace is the undeserved favor of God, if grace is the goodness of a loving God towards his creation, it begs the question, why do we only think that grace comes to save? Why do we think that grace is only for our salvation? Because we tend to accept that grace saves us, right? But we tend to kind of limit grace to just salvation. Is God's favor only for our salvation? Think about it. So if God calls somebody at the age of 15, and let's say that God has given him a life of 85 years on earth, if we say that grace is only for our salvation, it's like saying that God calls a boy at the age of 15 and God says, see you in 70 years, right? That makes no sense, right? Why would God call a boy at the age of 15 and say, you take care of yourself, and in 70 years, I'll see you again in heaven? No, That doesn't sound like the good God that we worship, right? So when you think about that, when you think, you need to talk about the fullness of grace, right? Grace encompasses a lot more than our salvation. Grace is filled with the blessing of God. So God calls us that this is the best blessing that you ever have. That's our salvation. We all agree with that. But grace does a lot more than saving us. Grace gives us the favor of God. The goodness of God towards us cannot only be for our salvation. Now, we see this in, there is a chapter in the Bible that I think I really like the most. And that is Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is where David wrote and he said, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And then in Psalm 91, David goes on and he mentions all these blessings that come to he who dwells in that secret place of the Most High. He talks about the blessing of God's protection, deliverance from our enemies, protection from sicknesses, the blessing of God's covering, the blessing of living without fear, the blessing of being sure that God hears us whenever we call upon him, the blessing of long life, the blessing of salvation. So Psalm 91 gives us all these blessings that come to he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. So the question is, what is the secret place of the Most High that people dwell and get all these blessings? Now, when you look at the story of David, David himself had experienced grace in an amazing way, right? David was called as a young boy from his family and anointed king at a very young age. And through David's life, he saw how much God blessed him that he didn't deserve, right? He saw that everything he did, you know, life wasn't always easy, but even then, God blessed him so much. He became the greatest king the Jews had ever had. And also God promised that even the Messiah who is to come would be born through his line. So that was the blessing of David. And David had looked at his life and has seen all the blessings that he has received. And he thought about it and realized he didn't deserve any of that. And he knew that all of that was through grace. That by grace, God had blessed him. And by grace, okay, so by grace, God had called him. And by grace, God had blessed him with all these other blessings. And then he looked around and saw that it's as if it's a secret that he had with God. That he was living in this place of grace. And by living in this place of grace, he has received all these blessings. But it seems like people did not know of this grace that was available to him. And so he called that this secret place of the Most High. It is that place of grace that when you find and you stay there, you abide there, God blesses you. Because he says, like, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, right? So it's like you are under the shadow of the Almighty. And to stay under the shadow of the Almighty, if you are abiding there, wherever God goes, you go, right? You just follow him all along. And when you abide with God, then his blessings come to you. Now, this is not only seen in David, because Jesus taught the same thing. When you look at, this is all the many blessings that when we look at Luke, instead of using Matthew, in Luke chapter 12, Jesus said that, in Luke chapter 12, Jesus taught us the same thing. He said that even if we humans, right, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more would God not bless us with so much? In Luke chapter 12, Jesus was teaching us not to worry. He said that God takes care of the birds of the air, and he will take care of the, he takes care of the birds of the air, he takes care of the lilies of the field. So how much more will he not bless you who are more valuable than the birds and the lilies? And then when we move on to Luke chapter 15, he keeps on talking about the same thing, about how God takes care of his people. So if you think about that, David talked about the blessing that comes to those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And Jesus also taught the same thing about how God takes care of his people, the people who have found that place of grace. Jesus was saying the same thing, that he who has found God's grace, God cares so much for you that he will take care of you. If he takes care of the birds, he takes care of the lilies, he said, how much more you who are more valuable to God than anything else? How much more will he not take care of you? So that is the fullness of grace that Jesus was talking about. That grace does not only save you, but grace saves you and grace takes care of you, right? Grace blesses you with more than you can even think of. Because what is grace? It is God's undeserved favor. Now, one last point just to make that point. You all know about the parable of the prodigal son, right? In that parable, the father was God, and the prodigal son is us. And in the parable of the prodigal son, God talks about the son who was lost coming back home, and then the father received him back freely, right? But if you read the story well, Jesus did not just stop there. He said when the son came back home, the father forgave him, and then the father threw a party, and the father gave him the best clothing to wear. Now, if you read the story well, the brother wasn't mad that the father received the son back. The brother was mad that the father threw a party for this boy who was lost and came back and did all this bad stuff, right? That's what the brother was mad about. Now, why did Jesus add that part of the story? Why didn't he just end at the fact that he came home and the father received him? It's because that is a point there. Grace doesn't just receive us back. Grace gives us more than we deserve. Grace actually throws us a party. Grace actually blesses us. Grace gives us a lot more than just forgiveness. That is what that part of the story was teaching us. But we tend somehow to only limit grace to forgiveness, to only limit grace to God receiving us back, even though grace covers a lot more than that. Now, why is that? You know, I've been thinking about this. Why is it that in the church, we only want to say grace forgives us and just limit it there? Why can't God's favor give us a lot more than that? If God is truly God, right, the Almighty God, unlimited in resources, why can't he give me the healing that I'm looking for? Why can't he bless me? Why can't he bless my home? Why can't he bless my marriage? Why can't he bless my finances? Why can't he, right? You think about it. If grace is really God's undeserved favor on our lives, it's got to be more than just salvation. So why is that? And as I was thinking about this, it's just one thing. Hebrews 11 talks about what? The faith of these people who lived before us. So if we are not receiving these blessings from God, I started thinking, maybe it's got to do with our unbelief. And so I want to talk a little bit about that. I think that our issue as we grow up becomes unbelief in all that God can provide to us. You see, during Christmas time, when you watch our kids' movies, there's one thing that you normally see. It's, you know, like believing is sin. Kids' movies, like around Christmas time, you see that a lot. Believing is sin. You have to believe to see it come to pass. But as we grow up, what do we believe in? We believe in seeing is believing, right? I have to see it to believe it. But really, seeing is believing is not scripture at all. It's actually far from scripture. When Jesus rose again, he told the disciples, all 12 or 11 of them, why do you doubt? Just believe. And remember when he met Thomas, what did he say? Why do you doubt? You must believe, for blessed is he who believes without seeing. That was the message that God gave us when Christ came back to life again. But we tend to struggle with unbelief. We tend to hold on to the past so much that we don't see how God will come through. And I thought we should make this practical, right? So you think about it. Many of us, the reason what gets us to where we are now is because we had a situation. We prayed about something, right? And we prayed and prayed and prayed, and it looked like God did not come through for us. You have somebody who was sick or somebody who has been sick for a long time, and you've prayed for a long time, and you still don't see the result. And that begins to create some sense of unbelief in us, right? That God saved us, but maybe he doesn't really mean, you know, he doesn't really do this thing in our day-to-day lives, even though he saves us. So over time, it looks like our heart gets hardened and hardened and hardened, you know, over time. Because we pray about something, we don't see the results come through, and, you know, it keeps going. And so I thought we should really make this practical. I want you to think right now about something that you have prayed so long about. A situation. You know, it could be a child. It could be your marriage. It could be your home, your job, your business. Something that you've been praying so long about. But it seems like God is not coming through. I want you to think about that right now. But I have one. A few years ago, you know, you all know I had a job that I used to travel a lot. I traveled all over the States, and I would drive to so many places. And then about 7 years ago, I developed a condition called vertigo. I'm not sure if you know what that is. That is a condition where you'll be driving, and it looks like the earth tilts. So you can only imagine driving on the highway, you know, at 70, and suddenly you see the earth flips, right? The earth tilts. And so you have to go from 70, you basically have to stop. So whenever it happens, I have to basically stop driving. And you all know, one gift that I think I have, I know I have, is the gift of prayer, okay? And God blessed me with a wife who also knows how to pray. So we do pray a lot, and my family prays a lot. So now let's think about this. We worship this God of grace, right? And he has promised that when we pray, he hears us. And I truly, wholeheartedly believe that. And then for 7 years, I've lived with this condition, and we do pray a lot. We've prayed about this. My family has prayed with me about this. And sometimes it looks like it's going away, then it comes back. So then you think about it, right? Why is that? Why doesn't God just make it go away, right? Maybe you've been living with your sickness, and you've lived with it for so long, and you feel the same thing. Why doesn't God just make it go away? Sometimes I think about it, I say, what does God benefit from me being sick? Nothing. And so if God benefits nothing from me being sick, I would think that he would heal me. And because I think he would heal me, I have to stay in faith. Now, when you go back to the people that we went through, there's one thing, though, that we learned from them. You see, God calls, and God promises something in our hearts, right? That God says, I'll give you this job, I'll give you this business, I'll heal you. Or that promise that you have on your heart, God puts that promise there. you know, that he will give you that. But there is always this time period between when we hear the promise and when the promise comes to pass, right? That period of waiting, that period where God prepares you for what he has promised you, we tend to struggle with that. We tend to struggle a lot with that period of waiting for God's hand to come through. But when we look at the stories that we looked at today, take Abraham, for example, right? God promised him a son. And after he and his wife waited for so long and the son was not coming, they thought that, maybe they could help God out. So what they did was, you know, Abraham had a baby with his maidservant, and God said, no, that's not what I was talking about. I mean, you have a child with your wife, Sarah, not with your maidservant. And so they waited, and for God to be truly God in their lives, God had to bring them to the end of themselves, right? So they waited until God waited until the dude was completely dead, and then the baby came, right? That is really what happened. Now, when you go on to Joseph, right? So Joseph had these dreams when he was young, and then he goes, becomes a slave in Egypt, and whilst in Potiphar's house, through his hard work and the blessing of God, he saw himself rising and rising and rising. He must have felt, the dream is coming through, right? And then, you know, we all know what happened. Potiphar's wife happened. Then he got wrongly accused, got thrown in jail. And then, long story short, God takes him from jail to governor just like that. But he went through this period of waiting. From his teenage years, when he had these dreams, till he actually became a governor, it took a while. He had to wait for God to do what he has promised him he would do. So Abraham had to wait. Joseph had to wait. Have you thought about Moses? Moses was delivered by God. Started feeling that God was calling him to be somebody great. At around the age of 40, he decided to do it himself. It didn't work out. Then he spent 40 years in the wilderness before he became the deliverer. 40 whole years. And you wonder, where was God during those 40 years, right? God brought Moses to the end of himself. And then when God made him the deliverer, he knew that he didn't do that. That it was completely by grace, completely an act of God that could take him from the wilderness to become the deliverer. Now, we talked about David. David was anointed king at the age of 17, and it took 13 years for David to actually become the king. 13 years, even after his anointing. And then you talk about Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus, right? So you think about the story of Mary, and you think that was pretty simple. God promised he would have a son, the Messiah. Mary became pregnant. In 9 months, he had a baby, and it happened. But that's not really the whole story. God promised him that he would have a son who would be the Messiah, right? And for a Jew, they knew who the Messiah would be. The Messiah was going to be this savior, this great person. And then this child is born, and for 30 years, he did nothing. Okay? For 30 years, Jesus' ministry did not start until the age of 30. So think about it. Mary, an angel actually appears to Mary, tells him you have this baby who will become the Messiah, and then for 30 years, 30 whole years, his ministry doesn't start. Mary had to wait for 30 years to see Jesus' ministry actually start. So what is common here? If we need a miracle from God, it seems like we have to know how the God we worship actually operates, right? And the God we worship operates on his own timeline. Because he says that what? Your ways are not my ways, and your thoughts are not my thoughts, right? So he operates on his own timeline. And so other than unbelief, I think the other issue we normally have is actually waiting on God to come through with what he has promised. So today, I want us to go back again. Just think through that thing that you've been waiting on God for. And we're going to pray about that thing. Okay? I want us to make this a little bit more practical. So think about that. And then for a moment, I would like you to actually close your eyes. What is that thing that you've been waiting on God for? Is it for healing? Is it for a job, a better job? Is it for your business? Is it for a promotion? Is it for a child? For college? What is that prayer that you have on your heart? My message today was pretty simple, actually. So just to remind us that God's grace is more than sufficient for us, that God's grace doesn't just cause us and grants us salvation, but His grace gives us more than that. That the fullness of God's grace brings us all these blessings. And we just have to have faith, like we see in Hebrews 11. Now, I'd like you to pray. Just go to God in prayer right now. If this is the message that God wanted me to share today, I believe He wanted somebody here to hear this. That His grace is full. His grace gives us more than salvation. His grace takes care of our daily needs because He cares for us. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And God is telling us today that He is our provider. He is our healer. He is God. That by His grace, by His undeserved favor, by His goodness, He blesses us. I know there's somebody who can testify that indeed God has been good to you. That God has blessed you, that God has called you and given you more than you deserve. So think about that. And then think about that one area that you need God to touch. And right now I want you to pray and tell Him to touch it. He is God. Tell Him that you've been praying about this for maybe a day, maybe a week, maybe a year, maybe 7 years. And you are believing for His touch today. Father God, we thank You so much for today, O God. We thank You for our lives, O God. We thank You for Your word to us today, O God. That Your grace is pregnant with Your blessings, O God. And that we just have to believe, O God, and wait on You, O God. And that in Your own timing, O God, You bring that dream to pass, O God. The dream of owning a business, the dream of a new job, the dream of a blessing of a peaceful job, the dream of a child who gets saved, the dream of a child who goes to college, the dream of your blessing on a child, the dream of a good marriage, the dream, oh God, of your blessings. The Lord, in your own timing, oh God, you bring these dreams to pass. Father God, your word says, oh God, that when we pray, you hear us, oh God. That is the confidence that we have in you, that when we pray, you hear us, oh God. So today, your church is before you, oh God. I know you had this message for somebody here, oh God. And I pray, oh God, that it be me, oh God. That it be us, oh God. That your grace is pregnant with your blessings, oh God. So this morning we pray, oh God, that Lord, you bless us, oh God. That Lord, you bless us. That you touch the one who needs your healing, oh God. Your word says, oh God, you are God, our healer, oh God. So this morning I pray, oh God, that you touch and you heal, oh God, to the glory of your name, oh God. To the one who needs a job, who needs a better job. Father God, I pray that, Father God, you will provide, oh God. To the one who needs his business blessed, oh God. Father God, I pray that, Father God, you will bless, oh God. To the one who is fearful, I pray, oh God, that you will heal from that fear, oh God. To the one who is without faith, oh God. Like the man who came to Christ and said, God, help my unbelief. I pray, oh God, that Lord, you help our unbelief, oh God. That you help us stay in faith, oh God. Oh God. We pray for your touch. That you bless our marriages, oh God. You bless our homes, oh God. You bless our children, oh God. Father God, all these blessings, oh God, are found in your grace, oh God. Psalm 91 talks about the blessing on our children, the blessing of your protection, the blessing of salvation, the blessing of long life. These are all in the secret place of the Almighty. These are all for those who abide with you, O God, for those that you have called, O God. So this morning we pray, O God, that let these be unto us, O God, according to your word. According to your word, O God. Because your word says, oh God, that you watches over your word to perform it. That is your word, oh God. That you watch over your word to perform it. Your word says, oh God, that you are not a man that you should lie, nor the son of man that you should repent. You say, have I said it and shall I not do it? This is your word, oh God. And this morning we pray. We pray that you will touch, you will heal, you will bless to the glory of your name, O God. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I sit down, I wanted to do one thing quickly. I like the college students to come. I feel like I just want to say a prayer for you before I go. So Kofi and any other college students here, if you want to come forward, I'd like to just say a quick prayer for you. I'd like us to just stretch our hands on them. Yeah.